ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रीमान वीएसएस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। आई हैव किल्ड मेनी बॉयज, ब्राह्मणास, वेल विशर्स, फ्रेंड्स, पेरेंट्स, प्रिसेप्टास एंड ब्रदर्स। दो आई लीव मिलियंस ऑफ इयर्स, आई विल नॉट बी रिलीव्ड फ्रॉम द हेल दैट अवेट्स मी फॉर ऑल दिस सिंस। पर्पोर्ट। Whenever there is a war, there is certainly massacre of many innocent living beings, such as boys, brahmanas and women, whose killing is considered to be the greatest of sins. They are all innocent creatures, and in all circumstances, killing of them is forbidden in the scriptures. Maharaj Yudhishthira was aware of these mass killings. Similarly, there were friends, parents and preceptors along also on both sides, and all of them were killed. It was simply horrible for him to think of such killing. Therefore, he was thinking of residing in hell for millions and billions of years. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवं श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सागरललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते ग्रिं यत्कृपात्मं वंदे श्रीगुरुं निनतारिणं यत्कृपात्मं वंदे श्रीगुरुं निनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। बालद्विज सुहृन्मित्र पितृभाते गुरुध्रुवा नमेस्या निरयान् मोक्षो ह्यपि वर्षायुतायुतये। Thank you very much for giving this opportunity to speak on such great literature, spotless Purana. So most of the thing will be for my own purification, and I'll try to, whatever my realization I try to express. So here we see in this chapter, particularly after the prayers of Queen Kunti are finished, you know, the next scene starts from here, just a few verses before. So starting from the verse from yesterday until the end of the chapter, about 5 to 6 verses, the feelings of Yudhishthira Maharaj, which he expressed, are put here. Now, we see here, Prabhupada puts in the purport that he was lamenting actually that because of me. You know, if you see further purports later and even before, we see that actually Prabhupada is mentioning, in one sense, it was not so horrible like the present one. You know, so-called king or dictator, whatever you call, name him, monarchy, or not monarchy, it's gone now. They try to live lavishly at the cost of, you know, common people. They end up paying heavy taxes. In Vedic culture, the taxation was like 1/4 flat rate. That's it. There's nothing more. No. 1/4. And that too if they earn. So, but, and of course, just like the clouds give rain when it's needed, similarly, the kings, when they would see there's any, I mean, scarcity, they would open the treasure also, you know, and distribute. Not that, keep to themselves. You know, I'm from India, but I'm not criticizing, but I'm telling the fact. I mean, say, we have a saying that the politicians, they amass so much money, I guess next generations, they eat and sleep, that much they can make money. They think that, oh, that's it. You know, this is a golden chance, you know, grab as much as possible. You know, so that's how, you know, the mentality. But if you see Vedic culture, it's diametrically opposite. The kings would look after the subjects as their children and take care of them. I don't think no father, no parents will try to loot or, you know, grab the things, you know, from the children. So that was the mentality. Now here we see he is lamenting that, you know, particularly he is mentioning Bala Dvijasuhan. Means kids, particularly the children, brahmanas and women. Actually, a lot of things yesterday Maharaj in a lecture itself is mentioned. You know, this war is not fought like, you know, anywhere the bomb. They don't even spare even hospitals where the people are getting, you know, better. They don't spare that also anywhere. And nighttime bombing, not even daytime, you know, so that no one will come to know who bombed it. Then you know, try to come up with some excuses, means roundabout way, you know, that we have not done it. It has not come from heaven or hell, you know, it has come from this earthly planet, the bombs, wherever they put, you know. So it's indiscriminately, you know, they kill, you know. But in Vedic culture, you know, these creatures, particularly this Prabhupada is mentioning, they are forbidden. And it's considered greatest of sins, Prabhupada is mentioning. So this one we can see in this one. And another thing Prabhupada is mentioning, of course, well-wishers. Now, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Yatva Maam Shanti Mrichati. Suhridam is mentioned over there, the word. Now, so Suhrid in Sanskrit, unlike, you know, English, you know, connotation, you have uncle, just one word, whether it's from mother's side or father's side, everything. But if you go to India, you'll get confused. Even I myself, you know, so many types of uncles we have, you know. It's like, you know, this thing, that thing. So it's similarly, this word Suhrid is a well-wisher. Then there is mentioned over word Mitra, friends. Now Mitra is something like, you know, I mean, say, when they need, they come to you. And when the need is over, sometimes they disappear also. They even try to get out of that street, you know. They know it, this guy is coming to, you know, ask me something. They'll just bypass. They'll not even go. That's why there's the English saying is there that a friend in need is friend indeed. So that's Mitra. It's not so deep. But Surid is with heart. And the greatest well-wisher is Krishna. You know, that he comes as Paramatma and he guides us, you know, come back to me, come back to me. So these sort of people are never to be killed. But we see, for example, here one of the well-wishers for Yudhishthir Maharaj was Bhishma Dev. Of course, Bhishma Dev is not yet, you know, because he had that boon from his father that he can have Ichamrti. Ichamrti means whenever he wants, he can die. No one can, you know, kill him. He had that boon his father gave him. And because just to satisfy his father, because it's a lengthy story, but to cut short, basically he took vow to remain brahmachari whole life. And for particularly kshatriyas, that's the last thing. Kshatriyas can never. Their nature is not, I mean, say, it's one wife. They, you know, several wives they would, you know, marry. And for such thing, that's why his name became Bhishma. Bhishma is one who took, I mean, a very strong vow, determined, you know. So, he's almost on the verge of death. He was waiting, you know, for Uttarayan, you know, a certain auspicious time he was waiting. Of course, ultimately he wanted to have darshan of Krishna. That's other reason. So Dronacharya and others, they were actually well-wishers. But this whole battle was fought. And ultimately, as Maharaj mentioned yesterday, it was the will of the Lord. See, as Vaishnavas, as Panch Pandavas, five Pandavas, they were happy with five villages also. That's why Krishna, on their behalf, he asked Duryodhan, can you give them five villages? Because that is their Kshatriya Dharma. You know, Kshatriyas, they cannot, without ruling, they can't. There's a humorous way. There's a small anecdote is there. This Aurangzeb, the Mughal emperor, he killed his brothers to become elder brothers, to become emperor. And then he put his father in the prison house. Now the father said, dear son, you put me in the prison, but my nature is to rule. Now you lock me inside. Then the Aurangzeb said, okay, I'll give you four guys, you rule on them. You know, because you want the tendencies there. Okay, I'll put you four. You ask them to sit, stand, ask them to do this, do that, but you cannot get out. So that's their, you know, mentality, you know. They can't, you know. So this Kshatriya mentality with that thing. And also, thing with the five villages we can see is that, one has to be satisfied whatever we get. That's why one nice sloka is there in the fourth canto Bhagavatam. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santyushta ena kenava sarvindya prishantyachu tushyati asu janardana. That if one wants to satisfy Krishna quickly, asu means quickly, tushyati asu janardana, then three things one should, you know and try to implement in one's life, not just knowing only. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu, that one should be compassionate to living entities. And as per one's capacity, one should try to, you know, do something for them. There's so many ways one can serve, you know. Santushti ena kenava, that in whatever situation Krishna puts us, we should be happy. It's not that, oh, you know, this thing is there today, I don't have cheese toast, you know, something, you know, some item, you know, which I don't like it. It doesn't work like that. Whatever comes, just have it. You know, Radha Govind Maharaj tells one nice, he went to Mathura in Vrindavan, you know, so he went to one home program. So this lady, some or other, she got inspired to cook khichdi. Not khichdi, some items. But the husband was not happy, you know, what she cooked. So then this man was telling his husband, your items are like something like ISKCON khichdi. ISKCON khichdi. But actually, khichdi has its own flavor. I guess sometimes, you know, we have some feast or something, we manage with khichdi. And another anecdote is there, that one man was not happy with what his wife cooked. And it was late night he came and he said that, you know, I want to have better item. She said, it's too late now. Should I inform you before? You know, clocks don't turn back. It will go forward. That's it. If you're happy, have it. And he got in sulking mode, that's the word they use. He thought, oh, I'm not going to eat. He drank water and slept. In the morning, then he was feeling hunger. He was asking his wife, I'm feeling hunger, what shall I do? I already put it last night. You know, it was waiting for you. So it's still waiting for you. He ended up eating that. So what's the meaning? Whatever comes to this one, just have it. So, santushtena kenava sarvendrupi shantyachu, that control our senses. So these three things easily satisfy Krishna. This we have to implement. This is in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto. Now, one of the things we learn from these verses, these five, six verses, is he was repenting. Now, this is one of the very important things in Vaishnava culture. This repentance, Prabhupada mentions, one's sins, which are like mountains, they will be burnt off by the fire of repentance. Jai Shri Adha Madhav ki jai. Jai Shri Saram Lakshmanan ki jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. So, it's not just this life you know, it's in 84 lakh species of life, 8,400,000 species of life. We have been committing sins, and you know, in previously, and all those things. We have been going on. Of course, other species, they don't commit sins, but we had many different lives, and we did so many sins. I mean, say, you can't measure it, neither we are measuring scale. So, nothing can, even this, our sadhana, one of the things is our sadhana will purify us, definitely purifies us, but we don't know to what extent we have committed. So that's why this repentance is very important. You know, we see this Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, this bhajan, Amar Jivan Sada Paperata. It's a nice bhajans are there where he repents that, you know, throughout my life, I wasted my life, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing few things, like, you know, I would take pleasure if someone is in miserable position. You know, it's like that, you know, our life is like that, directly or indirectly. You know, of course, in Vaishnava culture, we are well wishers of others, but outside culture is, you know, I mean, say, the roundabouts are typical, you know, my observation in this West. If someone is stuck, you take advantage of it. You know, it's not that, you know, I've seen once, I had been to this South Hall place, small roundabout. It's from right, vehicles were coming for 20 minutes. No one was even thinking this guy is waiting for 20 minutes. Why? Because it's my right of way. I can get out. I mean, it's a subtle thing. In fact, there are Panchashuna I was speaking to yesterday, or Paramakarma Prabhu. You know, it's there, the Panchashuna Karma. Basically, you know, five different types of sins are there. You know, by breathing, while cooking. So many ways we end up doing sins. So, it's the material world is designed in such a way, we end up making mistakes. We make mistakes. So, definitely the sadhana purifies us. But, until we come to that repentance state, it will not be. Because then we will think, you know, oh, my purifies, just like the, you know, tapasvis, they think my sadhana will make me, you know, go back to Godhead. As if, you know, Krishna is obliged to them, you know, give them direct flight, you know. Nothing like that. It's all at the sweet will of the Lord. But this repentance attracts the mercy of the Lord. In fact, once Radha Govind Maharaj was mentioning that these two things attract Krishna's mercy very quickly. One is crying. And this repentance comes in the mode of crying. You know, when one understands that position, you know, how sinful is he, that actually, no matter what, it's only by Guru's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, and Krishna's mercy, I'll become qualified. It's not that I chant 16 rounds, that Krishna, you know, you have to give me ticket. You are bound to give. You know, otherwise, you know, I'm going to, you know, put it on headlines, you know, that, you know, Krishna is not merciful. It doesn't work like that. He's not obliged. It's by his causeless mercy takes us. So, even in Nectar of Devotion also, Rupa Goswami mentions about this crying, and Prabhupada mentions, one should learn the simple art of crying. You know, that tears are the price to go back to Godhead. And His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj, who passed away in 96, he mentioned one nice thing. He mentioned that I opened a crying school in Bhubaneswar. He mentioned, unless we cry for Krishna, we will not attain him. So, this is what, this whole spiritual life is a process to melt our heart. Because our hearts at present are like hard. And some people's it's 100%, particularly those who are not practicing. Ours is like midway or 3/4 or 1/4. Somewhere its hardness is there. Otherwise, why we are here? Whether it's Brahma or, you know, a jiva, small jiva, or Indra Gopa, small ant, or Indra. In this world, everyone is sinful. Otherwise, no one will be there. No one will be in this material world. But, of course, the Lord sends his representative like Prabhupada and others, you know, they liberate us. But most of us, majority, we are here because of our karma. So, this thing we need to inculcate in our life, because unless we express these things, one devotee mentioned to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I can't cry. It's not in my nature. What shall I do? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned him, you cry to the Lord that you are unable to cry. Because you are unable to cry, you cry that, you know, I'm not getting tears. What shall I do, the Lord? No. So this is the thing. And yeah, these things we should, you know, make it, you know, in this repentance. And also, because we are mostly in the company of devotees. Now, ISKCON is like what you call, it's like a, what you call, in, to be, of course, being from India, our English is not like first language. It's like training school, you can make it. ISKCON. ISKCON is like a training school. So what you are, the way you are we are behaving here with devotees, same thing will be in the spiritual world. It's like a training school. So once one Prabhupada disciple asked him, Prabhupada, why Maya give us so much tough time? You know, we are sincerely trying and all those things. So as a matter of fact, Prabhupada said, so that rascals like you don't disturb Krishna over there. The thing is that because our rascal minds, you know, we try to, you know, judge devotees or, you know, try to command and all those things. So we have to be a bit careful. In fact, sin is like a mustard seed, but offense is like a mountain. There's a gulf of difference. Sins will make us take from heaven to hell. That means not they will not take to heaven, but they will take to hell. Or the pious activity, they will take to heaven. But this aparad, I mean say, it will make us blocked here in the material world. Depending on the severity of offense, we get held up here. So aparada is, you know, I mean say, it's, if you break it, Radha, every one of us knows Srimati Radharani, aparada. That which displeases Srimati Radharani is aparada. So we have to be a bit careful, you know, as we see, you know, there are six types of offenses, which include even in thinking in the mind. Of course, it's not considered, but there are repercussions. You know, it comes first in the mind, then, you know, in the, this one, and then it goes more into physical. So better not, you know, the only person who can judge is Guru or Krishna. Sometimes, you know, at least, you know, particularly in management, those who are there, they're attitude, I have that experience, you know, we end up, you know, but better not, you know. Everyone is trying. I was speaking to one senior sannyasi a few months back here in Manor. He gave a nice, this one insight, which I took it to heart, that amongst devotees, I mean, say, who is liberated? None of us. We are all struggling, you know. You know, sometimes we say, you know, someone is immersed in water up to here or here, here, somewhere we are immersed, but none of us are out of completely water. So we have our own weaknesses. So a person may have 9 weaknesses, but if that one positive point is there, that is, he is some or other sincerely trying to practice Krishna consciousness, look at that one. Don't look at the other 9. Then we end up committing offenses, and instead of purifying ourselves, there's another side, is Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you know, instead of looking at others' faults, look at ourselves and try to. Otherwise, you know, like they say, you know, when, before you point one, like this, the other 3 point us, 3 fingers point to us. So this thing is there. So I'm just putting, because here, you know, this Yudhishthira Maharaj is making these points that he's, you know, repenting, even though it was all the will of the Lord. It was the will of the Lord that, you know, this Mahabharata has to take place. So even then, you know, and we see in a, 7th Goswami, Rupa Vilas Prabhu nicely wrote this book. He gives nice anecdote. I like to read it to make it more, this one, for you. It may take 1 or 2 minutes. But I want it. This is about Sir William Duke, you know, in a British time. I'll just read it, you know, for you, this one. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it so nicely. And this attitude we should cultivate. In 1908, just 3 months before the Thakur adopted the order of Paramahamsa, one of his sons, who at the time was working at the Writers' Building in Calcutta, came home one day and informed his father that Sir William Duke, Chief Secretary of Bengal, was in Calcutta. The Thakur had previously worked with this gentleman as a magistrate. The next day, the Thakur made an appointment to meet him and went down to the Writers' Building. So William met him just outside the building and escorted him to his office with folded hands. Quote, "My dear Kedarnath," he said, "when you were district magistrate, I wanted to take you out of office. I thought that if there were many men as qualified as you in Bengal, then the English would have to leave." Unquote. Sir William used to read the judgments of the Thakura passed in his court cases and was amazed at the great wisdom they reflected. On several occasions, he visited the Thakura at his home and observed how he was absorbed in his writings of Sri Chaitanya Sikshamrita. The Thakura's wife used to feed him a lunch of puri, luchi and sweets whenever he came. He was astounded at the constant activity of the Thakura. He then admitted that he had considered the Thakura's extraordinary abilities a threat to British control. But now he begged the Thakura's forgiveness. The English custom was that when a man grows old, he would approach everyone he had ever offended and beg their pardon so that he could pass away peacefully. After hearing Sir William Duke's apology, the Thakura replied, quote, "I considered you to be a good friend and well-wisher all along." Unquote. The Thakura admitted later to be astonished that this man had wanted to do him harm, but he was so pleased by his repentant attitude that he gave him all his blessings. See, we can see from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, this is the attitude, you know, we need to cultivate in our life, you know, because no matter what, you know, maybe others, but ultimately they are after all jivas, you know, living entities. So we see that here Thakura Bhaktivinoda is setting us example that this repentant attitude, we should make it. It's not that we have to meet until lastminute.com. You know, when the opportunity arises, just take it. It's not, you know, sometimes we say, you know, people, everyone knows date of birth, but if someone is asked what is the date of death, no one knows. You know, if eviction notice is, you know, given for everything, but not of date of death. So we should not wait until lastminute.com to, you know, oh, I'll do it at the end of my life. You know, don't carry forward. It's better not to carry forward. You know, erase it over there, you know, by vanchakalpaturubhyasya, whatever you can say, and carry for, go forward. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's another thing, you know, before he disappeared from this world, he has given this he gave us some hint about his bhajan. I just wanted to read one of the verses he gave. It got misplaced somewhere. Yeah, it's here, yeah. So I just wanted to read. He has given us this Swanyama Dvadashakam. Just like he gave us Bhajan Rahasya, he gave us this also, this Swanyama Dvadashakam. You know, how we cultivated these things, how we, you know, he came all along, and he gave us some guidelines. So one among those guidelines I just wanted to read, there are 13 verses, 12 verses particularly, and Phalashruti is one verse, you know, what one can achieve by doing this. So he gave this thing. I just wanted to read this one for your information. Yeah. This is the sixth verse. I'm reading translation for you. "My austere vow is devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Thus I have chosen to cultivate the following in myself." Now from here he's starting qualities. He's giving you great humility, simplicity, tolerance in all circumstances, respect for others, and compassion. "Those transcendental activities alone are mine, which are recommended by devotees of the lotus feet of the Lord, and which are found described in books that are full of the imperishable character and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya." So, as we see, you know, this Trinadapi verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Saishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadhari. So, if this verse is, you know, is put on our neck, and if it is practiced. In fact, there's a pastime. Prabhupada, before coming to West, when he was young, his godbrother OBL Kapoor, I guess his name was Adi Keshav, initiated him. His legal name was OBL Kapoor. So, this basically enacted was that, you know, Prabhupada said, I have a formula, you know, to go back to Godhead. What is that formula? And Prabhupada quoted this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Vasaisna Manina. With these words, I'll be able to go back to Godhead. You know, by becoming humbler than greater cross, you know, more tolerantly, devoid of false insults, false prestige, and offering all respects to others. So, in summary, Yudhishthira Maharaj is teaching us that we have to cultivate this, you know, act of repentance, and that helps us. It's not that we have to wait till the end. And as we see, the different types of sinful reactions are there, but the greatest of sins, as Prabhupada is putting, is killing of children, brahmanas and women. And instead of waiting till the last minute, we should try to, you know, I mean, say, clear off anything we do, any type of thing, either mentally, verbally, physically, though, is ruled out. So that way, you know, there won't be any obstructions. And as Prabhupada put, is our future is bright. If we want, we can make our life perfect right in this life. In fact, I'll end up here with one anecdote that Prabhupada's spiritual master said that 64 rounds. And when Prabhupada was asked how we can make it in, you know, 64 rounds, it's not possible. Then Prabhupada gave this concession and he said that my spiritual master, as friend Okis of the spiritual world, have back door keys. I'll give you entrance from back door. So Prabhupada is a founder acharya and Yuga acharya. He has given us that. So if we simply follow this and these petty things, offenses, if we avoid, then we can achieve perfection in this life. So thank you very much. So it's 8:30 now. I'll take one question or comment.